I'll move, I will follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my side, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose,
The next song that we're going to sing is Amen by Dave Barnes. It's a song for couples to look into the future and also to look back at what you've accomplished together. The words will be on the screen for you to follow, so you don't have to sing along necessarily. But if you feel moved to do so, who are we to stop you? So, enjoy.
There will be days and days and days that feel
amen. What is done and yet to come, amen. We will have hope.
Situated here. Oh, you can hear me better, can't you? Okay. Okay. All right, now, the first thing I want to show you, let's see, is you know what? When I was young, I used to get these bottles, and sometimes I couldn't open them. Have any of you had a hard time opening bottles? You do? And do you give them to anybody to help you open them? Who do you give them to help you open them? Your mom? And are they, sometimes they too hard for your moms to open, too? And if they're too hard for your moms to open, who do you give them to? Okay, did you threaten them not to speak? I recognize that look from my children. Okay, you can answer the question, okay? Did you give them to Dad? That's right, you give them to Dad. You know, God made, yeah, we know what's going on. God bless you, buddy. You know what? We give them to dads because, you know, God made dads very, very strong. God made dads stronger than we are because we need our dads to be strong to help take care of us. To help take care of us. We're going to get there later. Okay. Now let's see what else I got in here. Oh, here. What about this? You know what this is? The TV remote. Now, in your house, who uses this most? What? Blake. You do. Is that true? He's practicing to be a man. Okay. And you too? Well, you know, in our house, Dad uses this most. And you know, God made Dad so that they could make good decisions. Because, you know, the buck has to stop somewhere in the house. And so Dad's practice making decisions by using the remote, you see. That's how they practice, okay? Now, do you know what this is? Your dad doesn't get practice because you take the remote from him, don't you? Do you know what this is? It's a tie. Who wears things like this?
Dad.
Dads wear things like this. They do. And you know what? This one's a very long one because, you know, dads are usually taller than we are. Dads are usually tall. God made dads tall so that we can look up to them. You know, that's a very tall. Now, okay, what is this? What are these?
Gloves.
They are work gloves, aren't they? Well, I guess they're welding gloves. I don't know. I can't tell the difference. But they're work gloves. And God made dads so that they can work and that they can provide for us. No, there's nothing left in there, okay? They are big. They're from Papa. Okay. God made dads in all these different ways so that they could take care of us. And you know, dads are made to take care of us in some of the same ways that God takes care of us. Because God is always there for us. God is bigger than we are. He is stronger than we are. And he will take care of us. And so when we see our dads, when we see our good dads and how they take care of us, that's a reflection of how God takes care of us. Okay? Anyway, so today we're going to honor our dads. Are you guys going to do something special for your dads? Joshy, are you going to do something special for your dad today? What are you going to do for your daddy today, Joshy? What? You can say it louder than that. Nothing. Well, I'm sure you'll think of something good to do for your dad today. There's something. Do something special for Dad today, okay? Yes. You're going to give him a present?
My mommy.
For my present.
For your present? What are you
going to do? My mommy and me are going to
give him cards. Did you make a card? Oh,
you
buy the card. Oh, well, you know what? Maybe you know what you can do? Well, we're going to pray, and then I'll have a suggestion for you, okay? Well, Father God, we thank you so much that you made dads and that godly dads reflect so many of the things that you do for us. Help us to always honor our dads. And help us to remember that you are the perfect Father and always honor you. We pray it in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Now, you know what you might be able to do today? Just a suggestion, Ireland. Would you give me that bag? Maybe today you could play ball with your dads. Do you think you could do that? Now, here's the deal. You're going to have to blow these up because, and you know what? They might turn blue when they blow these up for you. But you should take one of these, and you should today play ball with your dad, okay? And you can blow one up by yourself? Okay, here, tell me.
Oh,
could you give that to Tay? Thank you, thank you. Right. Are you going to do it? They're easy. And get right next to Tanya. Okay, get a goodie. You got it. Just a minute, we're getting there.
Here, I'll do one.
Thank you. Thank you. There you go. Oh. There you go. Okay, and there's junior church today, and so if you would go back with Miss Descendio for junior church. You know, a fellow and his buddy went golfing, and he showed up, and the friend said to him, "Why do you have so many caddies?" And the second guy said, "Well, it's my wife's idea. She thinks I should spend more time with the kids." It's one way of doing it. Welcome to Father's Day 2012. You know, this past year, an insightful cartoonist by the name of Bill Keane passed away. He wrote Family Circus. Do you remember? I mean, it's still in the paper, Family Circus. I love to read Family Circus because it's just so pertinent to raising a family. And there's a classic one where Dad is sitting in an easy chair and reading the paper, and Billy comes through carrying his baseball bat and glove. And Billy says, anytime you're ready, Daddy, I'll be sitting outside growing older. You know, Carrie Sterner told me that he gave Alexis her name because if he and Lori hadn't have had children, that's what they'd be driving. Today is the day that we honor fathers. But we honor our fathers not because it's a holiday and not because it's a tradition, not because there are sales that are going on everywhere, but because God said to. In fact, he said so specifically. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now notice, guys, that it doesn't say honor only good moms and dads. It doesn't say honor them if you like them. It doesn't say honor only the ones that are right. It says honor your mother and father. And so today we're honoring fathers. But I want to speak directly to dads today, but if you're not a dad, don't check out, because we all need to hear this. You see, we're involved in a war today. And the battleground isn't Iraq, it's not Afghanistan, all of those places we hear in the news. The battleground is in our homes. And what is at stake is not our land, it's not our property, it's not our freedoms, it's something way more important than that. The battle is for our children. And it is a war. And it's important. It's an important war. And in this country, we are losing this battle. Children in our country are turning from the faith in record numbers. And if we can keep them through high school, which is iffy, the minute they graduate from high school, they graduate from the church. And we are told by those who keep track of such things that it's true everywhere. Children in record numbers are turning away from God. But it's nothing new. It's the same that's been happening over the course of time. I want to talk about the biblical story that I was reading from today from Judges, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Okay, Judges 2, 6 through 12, from which I read. I want to just give you a little bit of background about what's going on. The nation of Israel had just marched into the promised land, and they were settling in. Dust was settling. Now, it wasn't a complete victory, because when they went in, they didn't do everything that God commanded them to do. Instead of conquering a lot of it, you see, they just kind of fit in to some of it. And just before our scripture lesson for this morning, they were told that they had not done what God had told them to do, and they had repented of it. So that's what was going on when we visited Judges 2, 6 through 12. After Joshua dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to its own inheritance. Now, what happened is, once Joshua and his generation had passed away, the next generation turned their backs on God. They knew not God. They worshiped the gods of the people who lived around them. Today, in 2012, you see, our kids don't seem to even wait for us to die. They turn from God long before we're gone. They turn away immediately, some of them, worship the god of television, the god of fashion, the god of convenience. They worship the god of this world, and they worship the world. And this is not just our kids. I'm not just beating up on you guys. It's us, too. So what is the world? 1 John 2:16 says, this is the New Living Translation, for the world offers only the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything we see, and pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father. They are from this evil world. Now, the passage from Romans 1:28 and 32, it really kind of describes what's going on in the world today. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, and greed, and depravity. I could go on, but we know how it goes. We can read the paper. Do you realize that we live in a culture that approves of turning its back on God? We live in a culture that encourages our young people to turn their back on God. From court cases to TV to popular movies, do you know it is okay to make fun of being a Christian because it's just not important and it's just not relevant anymore. It worked for Mom and Dad, but it doesn't work for me. Well, I can tell you this morning, moms and dads, we are on the front lines. This is a war, and we shirk this responsibility at our peril. So this morning, I want to give you some marching orders to tackle this important job of saving our children. And I just want to look briefly at a few steps that will help us to do just that. And I have three biblical suggestions on how to win the war for your kids. First way is with your words. Deuteronomy 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. You need to talk to your children. Be involved in their lives. Tell them about God. Tell them about the Bible. Tell them your story of faith. What has God done for you? Those times in your life when you cried out to God and He came to you, you need to share that with them. So are you sharing with your children what God has done for you? Well, if you're not, you need to. You ought to. Proverbs 1 said, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Don't let schools be the only thing that's teaching your children. Don't even let this church be the only thing that is teaching your children. No one else is responsible for raising your children and making them disciples of Christ than dads and moms. The church exists to help moms and dads do what it is that they must do. When the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, that command is to parents. That command is not given to the church. So dads, I have to ask you, are you winning the battle with your words? Have you ever had the God talk with your kids? You know, you all dread the sex talk. Have you had the God talk? Are you fighting for the souls of your children? Now, the second way to win back our children is with our time. Successful fathers are the ones who put aside their own wants and needs so that they are not torn from their families unnecessarily. They choose, some of them, to postpone even their hobbies until later in life. They know they'll get to it. So fathers, how are you doing with your time? We looked at Deuteronomy 6, but let's look again at verse 7 and following. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Do you want to know, dads, how you can tell what's really, really important in your life today? You need to look at your day timer. You need to look at your smartphone. You need to look at your schedule, and you need to look at your checkbook, where your time and money, whatever your time and money are devoted to, that's what's important to you in your life. You know, many dads say they love their jobs. That's awesome. Many dads say they love their hobbies. That's good. They love entertainment. They love comfort. If you ask them if they love their children, they would swear to you that they do. But the time, you see, doesn't match up. And some of us have bought into the thinking of this world. You know, I've got to keep working and working and working so I can provide for them the finer things of this world. And providing for a family is scriptural. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, it says, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But you know, don't you think we go beyond what's necessary? There's a story of a man. He told his daughter, "What would you rather have? Would you rather have quality time with me, or would you rather have quantities of time with me?" And she said, "I want quality time and lots of it." You know, there was a little girl, she drew a picture, and she went into her dad's office and crawled in his lap. She wanted to show him the picture. He said, "Not now, I'm too busy." She came back again, "Not now, can't you see I'm busy? I will come. You know, I will be out to see it." He goes out, and he said, "Can I see the picture now?" And she showed it to him, and it was a beautiful picture of her and her brother and the dog and the son and the mom and everybody smiling. It's a sunny day. And he says, "Sweetheart, this is beautiful, but where am I?" And she says, "You're in your office." You know, time is a gift that when you give, you never give it back. Did you ever think about that? You can give money, but you can always make more. You can give gifts, but you can always get more. Once time is given, it never comes back. And that reveals the priority in your life. And if you want to win the war for your children, you have got to invest time. Now, third, the way we can win the war for our children is with our lives. Genesis 18, 18 and 19, real revealing passage. And, you know, we've been spending, those of you who haven't been here, we have been spending a lot of time with Abraham's life. And I'm just reminding you of it again. We actually talked about some of this. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. The way you live your life right now will be a direct reflection of how your children will grow up. Now, there's a song from a few years back called I Want to Be Just Like You. Can we play that? And I hope, and before the service, there was another one that is very similar, a country song, a country and western song, that I hope you were paying attention to. But listen to the words. I think Mark put the words at the bottom. Did you put the words on the bottom of this so we can see in case we can't? Okay. It's I want to be just like you because he wants to be just like me.
just like you. Cause he wants to be like me.
Say, they try to do the things that they see you do, and they love you, and if they're young enough, they don't even think you're lame yet. You better be the right kind of a dad, because they will mirror you. What kind of an example are you setting for your kids? You know, your words may say some things about you, but your life declares who you are. So are you fighting the war for your children with your life? Now, as I wrap it up, I want to speak to the kids here today. Life isn't always what we want. It isn't always what's best. And it isn't always pleasing to God. And there are some young people here this morning who have fathers who aren't all that great. Maybe they're not here. Maybe they're not living with you. And maybe they're not men of faith. And it's tough to honor your father and mother when they're that way. It's difficult to honor your father sometimes. And it's hard to go through life without a good dad. So I just want to suggest something to our young people this morning. God calls the church his family. And here this morning, there are a lot of good godly dads. And I would suggest to you that you kind of look to some of those guys, and you pay attention to the way they're living their lives and the way they are with your kids. And you know what? They're there for you. Now, not like you're going to hang out or anything like that, but you know, there might come a time when you might go up to one of them and say, every now and again, you know, I need someone I can look to for advice, and I think you would be a good choice. Can I talk to you here at church if something comes up? Dads, if one of our young people comes up to you and asks that, you know how you're supposed to respond, don't you? You know, it was typical of young boys debating whose father was best. These young boys were arguing. Discussion was highlighted by who their fathers knew. The first boy said, his father knew the mayor. The second boy said, that's nothing, my dad knows the governor. Stakes were getting pretty high for an eavesdropping father, and he really wondered what his son was going to say about him. And the little boy said, so what? My dad knows God. You have to ask yourself this morning, would your children say the same about you? May our children always be able to say, my dad knows God. So how are you fighting your battle? And maybe you haven't been fighting it. But maybe you're going to start today. And maybe you need to apologize to your kids. Maybe call them on the phone this Father's Day instead of them calling you. And you can start new today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you know we love our children. But sometimes we lose our way. And we pray today for dads that they would step up, and that they would show their children, no matter how old they are, what a godly man looks like, what a servant of yours looks like, because we know that that is the only way they will find their way. We pray it in your son's name. Amen.